Good morning, Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Good to see you here this morning. Well, not here, but here. No, not there. Here. Here. It's good to see you this morning. At this time, we usually do praise and testimony, so I have a few listed here. At this time, if you have something that you just want to give God praise for, a little testimony, write it in the comment section right here. Y'all show them where. Right there. We miss y'all as normal. I hope to see you here in the sanctuary before too long. Let's see. Golly, I can't even read my own writing. Okay, I just said that. All right. I want to give a shout out right now, and hopefully he's still awake, to your brother.
Hey, Bubba.
Justin. We're praying for you. Talked to your wife last night. We love you. Thank you for what you're doing. Can't wait for you to be home. Hopefully it's sooner than later. So Justin May, he has been deployed to Guam. Many of y'all might have seen a month or two ago where there was a ship out in the ocean and it had sailors and they contracted the coronavirus, and he was one of the ones who was sent over there. So let's be in prayer for one of our own, Justin May. Love you, brother. Brother, we love you. We need to pray for Brother Ravi Zacharias. He is a very acclaimed author, writer, speaker. He has cancer, and he found out about it, I guess, about 6-8 months ago, and he's not doing well. So let's please pray for him and his family. Also got a special prayer request sent in from a former church member in my last church, Ruthie Brogdon. She asked if we would pray for Henry. Now, God knows who that is, so let's be in prayer for Henry. Also, another special prayer request within our church. God knows what that prayer request is, so let's be in prayer for that. I think that this morning, my mother is watching the service. So, hey, Mom. Hey, love you, Mom. I think my sister's there doing the live stream with her, so y'all communicate with each other during the message through the praise and worship. Just talk to each other. I mean, we haven't been around each other for some time. I know you miss each other, and I miss you. We miss you. We love you, and I'm going to get off the stage and let the praise team sing.
It takes a man who loves his children. It takes a man who provides for his children. And it takes a man who disciplines his children. And at that kind of a father, we respect. But we also have a father in our God. And what our God does for us, he loves us unconditionally. He provides for us. And he disciplines us. We don't like that last part. When we sin, we suffer the consequences of those sins. And God allows that to happen because he's disciplining us. And because of that, we need to respect God our Father. This next song, we're going to do that.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love. In the dead of night, you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say your word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Can hardly speak in peace. is so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am, because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, you're perfect.
John chapter 16. Normally on Sunday mornings, I have a pretty set schedule, but since all this is taking place, I have a new type of set schedule. I'll get here, I guess, between 9:30 and 10, and I'll come in the sanctuary and speak with those who are in here, setting up and getting ready, and I have to make sure Neil is here on time and he's got all his ducks in a row, because Neil kind of slacks from time to time. You have to stay on top of him. Isn't that right, Neil? No, I'm just kidding. But after I come in here and speak to everybody, I'll go to my office and look over my notes one more time. And right at 10:45, I get a call on my phone, and it's usually, well, it's Steve. He has the ability to make a conference call with myself and the other deacons, and we talk for a few minutes, then we pray, and after that time, I usually put on my jacket and grab my Bible and get ready to come. And when I walked out of my door just a few minutes ago, I looked down, and I can usually hear, especially when it's quiet up in the hall, I can hear anybody walking up and down the hall, and if you walk up and down that hall long enough, I can distinguish who it is coming up the hall. I can tell whether it's Becky, or I can tell whether it's Poppy, or sometimes I can tell whether it's Vicky. But this morning, I'm sitting in my office, and I hear nothing. I open my door, and there's a tub of cookies with a card. And I haven't opened the card yet, but I saw the handwriting, so I know who it was from. And I picked the tub of cookies up, and I saw Bishop underneath it. So Miss Desi Bishop must be in this time of staying away. She must be taking ninja school, because I did not hear, nothing. Miss Desi, you did good. I think those are peanut butter cookies, and if they're peanut butter cookies, you did real good, although I'm trying to lose weight. Thank you, Miss Desi. Turn your Bibles again to John chapter 16. Last week was Mother's Day, and I hope you had a wonderful time spending time with your mothers. It was Mother's Day, and we looked at a mother's love in the book of Exodus. We saw that Moses' mother fell in love with him the very moment she looked at him. When she saw him, she wanted to keep him from danger because he was so beautiful. And that's something my mom always tells me, and I believe my mom. She always tells me, you were such a beautiful baby. you were such a beautiful, you had such beautiful hair. Yeah, well, Mom, I don't think she's ever been able to get over the fact that I don't have hair. Mom, it's okay. I had a haircut just last night. But Moses' mother loved him, and she saw how beautiful he was. So she wanted to keep him out of danger. We learned that all mothers think that their babies are beautiful. And if they can only make themselves look at their children, just look at their face, see them for the first time, they are more likely to do anything they can to keep that child from danger than they are of taking their lives. We learned that the love that they have for their children did not come from themselves, but was a love given to them from the love of God the Father. We learned that a mother cannot truly love their children to the fullest potential unless they know the love of the Father God. That they might think they know they love their children. They might even go out of their way to show their love for their children. But unless they understand, unless they've accepted Christ as their personal Savior and have accepted the love from God, they can't express the love that God has for them. Today, we're going to look and listen to a conversation that took place days prior to Jesus being crucified. So let's, again, turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, John 16, and we're going to start reading in verse 25. John records, "I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming," Jesus says, "when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I'm not telling you that I will take your request to the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father." "Ah," the disciple said, "now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you've come from God." The disciples say, now we believe. Now we believe. Now Jesus is going to tell them what they believe. Jesus responded to them, "Do you now believe? Look, guys, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world." Listen, there are those who will preach a message of health, wealth, and prosperity. If you'll only do this, and this, you'll never suffer again. That's not what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, "You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world." Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we can't thank you enough for loving us. Lord, we don't truly understand what love is apart from you. God, we have an unbelievable opportunity this morning to hear a word from you. And I pray that you would remove all distractions from us right now. I pray that you would wake us and shake us. Lord, you'd make us aware of your presence. We would know that you're with us, God, trying to show us something in this world that we live in. God, may we listen to you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless the reading of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, and I hope you just said amen in front of your monitors or your TV. The title of this message this morning is The Origin of Peace. Now, the origin of peace. Now, I don't know if you're seeking peace, but I'm taking you all the way to the origin. I'm not taking you to the middle. I'm not taking you to the front. I'm not trying to take you where you need to be. This morning, I want to take you to the very origin of peace. Real peace, not a fake peace, not a, you know, a unpromised peace, but a total peace this morning. So where's the origin of peace? Now, I don't know about you, but I need some peace. Let me say that again. I don't know about you, but I need some peace. My wife and I have been together in the same house every day since this virus stuff started, apart from her going to see Emily this past weekend. We've been together just about every single day. We've only had one argument, and listen, that argument was my fault. Go ahead, Amy, make some sort of comment. It was my fault. I promise it was my fault. And I don't even remember what it was all about right now. I'm sure she does. I don't remember. Neil, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? Yeah, he's shaking his head, Jackie. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. She knows what the argument was about, but I don't. Now, she has done what she knows is best for me the past 2.5 months, trying to ensure I don't lose my mind. Now, here's what she's done to a certain degree. I am not allowed to watch the news. I'm not allowed to watch the news. Any news from any channel. When I am on Facebook or any social media and I see a video that's political, my wife makes me turn it off. Now, she hasn't reached over me and turned it off, but she says, turn it off, turn it off. When she walks into the room and I'm looking or watching something that's news related, she asks, why are you watching that knowing that it's going to raise your blood pressure? That's why you can't sleep at night. That's what she does. She says, that's why you can't sleep at night. But church, listen, just a few days ago, I'm sitting in my recliner. This is how she's trying to take care of me. I'm sitting in my recliner, and I'm just scrolling through Facebook. And the volume is on, and I didn't realize the volume is on. And I'm scrolling slowly. And somebody has posted a video, and evidently it's a political video. And as I'm scrolling, the video is real loud, and it comes on. And before I can scroll past it, she hears it, and she's got her ear. Turn that off! Why are you watching that? So she's genuinely trying to take care of me. But church, it's now getting to where you can't turn on the radio or even regular TV without hearing things that grind on your everlasting nerves. It just grinds on you. I mean, in the afternoon when you're just sitting there watching a little bit of the Andy Griffith Show, the commercial comes on, and it's a lawyer, and he has to start the promotion by telling you things about this things that were going on in the world today. You can't get past it. You turn on the radio, even Christian radio, and you're listening, oh, praising God, and then a commercial comes on from a car dealership, a car dealership, and they've got to mention what's going on in the world. You can't get past it. So this morning, I want to tell you some things that I'm hearing that are just driving me bananas, getting on my everlasting nerves. You ready? Here we go. And I want to encourage you, as we kind of interact with each other, as I list these, you tell me some things that if you hear one more time, you're just going to shoot the TV. All right? Here we go. We're all in this together. We are all in this together. No, we're not. No, we're not. Listen, I know some people who are not in this together. I'm on some Facebook pages where people they're done. Y'all, they're done. They're done. They're ready to storm the state house in Georgia and South Carolina and other states. They're done. We are not all in this together anymore. Here's another one. This is actually on the school sign out there in Georgetown Elementary. You ready? Here we go. We all need to do our part. We all need to do our part. Y'all listen to me. I was all about that the first 6 weeks. I do my part. Stay away from people. Don't hug, don't touch, don't shake, don't hand fit, don't fist bump. Don't. You know, we all need to do our part. I'm past that now. I got in trouble this past week. I did. Because I was bad. Mike Tomlin's up there in the sound room laughing right now. It's not that, well, it is funny. You might think it's funny, but some people are probably not going to think it's funny. Amy and I go to the gas station, and I'm pumping gas, and I mean, I look just like this. This woman gets out of her car and she's right in front of us pumping gas. I mean, she's 20, 30 feet ahead of us. And she gets out of her car like this. And she's pumping gas. And she's frantically looking around. And I look at Amy and she looks at me and I'm just like, this is mind blowing. So you know what I did? I should have said, ma'am, I'm good. You're far enough away from me. I didn't say that. Y'all know what I did? This is what I did. I'm bad. Y'all, please don't. I've had enough. Here's what I did. I mean, she was terrified. We are not. We're not all doing our part. I know that's bad. Y'all, please forgive me. I'm just done. I'm tired of this. Here's another one. Here's another one that I'm tired of hearing. You ready, Mike? You listening? In these trying times. In these trying times. I mean, it starts off with that. Yes, these are trying times, and they're trying every bit of everybody's patience. We're ready to get past these trying times. Here's another one. My father-in-law, Randy Hatchell, can't stand this one. Here it is. You ready? Flatten the curve. Flatten the curve. Y'all, I've been driving all around them curves, and I'm tired of hearing about the curves. I'm tired of hearing about the flat curves, the big curves, the slow curves. I'm tired of hearing about all the curves. If I hear these words, not phrases, but these words, if I hear these words one more time, I think I might puke. You ready? Here we go. Virus. I'm tired of hearing virus. Y'all, when I hear these words that I'm telling y'all about on the radio, if I just hear, I turn the channel. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Virus, COVID-19, vaccine, quarantine, Lysol. Y'all, this is funny. When Amy and I do go to the stores and we're walking around looking, two or three times, and she's bought it every single time. I'll say, good night, honey, look, they've got Lysol in the can. And she'll say, really? And I'll say, no, I got you. But I'm tired of hearing Lysol. I'm tired of hearing social distancing. I'm tired of hearing unprecedented. I'm tired of hearing unprecedented. I'm tired of hearing new normal. I'm tired of hearing stimulus check, and for one reason, it's because I ain't even gotten one. I don't know when it's coming. I don't even know if it's coming. Some of y'all have gotten a stimulus check. Praise God. Your pastor has not gotten a stimulus check. And my favorite word that I cannot stand to hear anymore, y'all ready? Drum roll. Y'all do a drum roll at the house. Here it is. Pandemic. Pandemic. I'm tired of hearing these words. Church, I'm tired of staying home. I'm tired of watching TV, looking at my phone, looking at my computer. I'm tired of waking up in the morning, and I'm tired of going to bed at night. I told Mr. Crawford, he was here this past Wednesday, that I'm even tired of taking naps. What man is tired of taking naps? But I'm to the point I'm tired of taking naps. He told me that he couldn't even nap anymore. Mr. Crawford can't nap anymore. Now, Amy asked me when I go on these tangents, and I'm sure it's running through her mind right now. Amy asked me in a very sweet tone of voice, well then, what do you want to do? What is it that you want to do? If you're tired of all this, honey, sweet darling, what is it that you want to do? I don't know. I don't know. But I know this. I want some peace. I think that I'm tired most of all of thinking about it, trying to figure out what to do next. I'm not tired of meeting with the deacons every 2 weeks, but I'm tired of trying to anticipate what is the best move. My job as pastor and the deacon's job as deacons is this. We are to feed you, water you, nurture you, and protect you. And at times during all of this stuff that's going on, it's been hard to gauge what we need to do as church leadership to protect our congregation. But it is a part of who we are and who we should be. I'm tired. I'm tired of thinking about all of it. And that brings me to our message this morning. Because Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for what they are going to do next.
See, all of this that's taking place, I'm trying to think of what to do next. What do we need to do? What do we need to do that's best for the church and best for the health of the church? What do we need to do next? And this is exactly what Jesus is trying to do, trying to prepare his disciples for to what they're going to be doing next. And he tells them what they need to understand to have the peace that we all say we desire. So my question to you this Sunday morning of May 17th of the year 2020 is this. Do you want to have a little peace in your life? Do you want to have a little peace in your life? Hey, let's get past little. Let me ask this. Do you want to have a lot of peace in your life? Do you desire peace? Because listen, I know I'm just an ordinary man. I'm a pastor. I'm your pastor, but I'm just an ordinary man. If I'm wanting some peace, I can imagine that some of y'all out there, y'all are really wanting some peace. Some of y'all have lost your job. Some of you have been furloughed. Some of you don't know when you're going to get a next paycheck. So listen, do you want some peace? Because I can offer it to you this morning. The scripture of our focus is seen in verse 33. Let me say that again. The scripture of our focus is seen in verse 33. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Let me read it again. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now, there's a contingency there. He says, you may have. So you either may have peace or you may not have peace. But I'm going to tell you these things that you may have peace if you choose to have peace. So just like anything else in our lives, we can choose to have peace in what Jesus is saying. So what we must ask now is, what is Jesus speaking of? He just said in these things, well, what things? Jesus, what are you talking about here? What was Jesus talking about when he said, I have told you these things? Well, right off at the beginning, Jesus admits to them that there have been many times where he has spoken to them, his followers, in figures of speech and or parables. Jesus did not speak this way to cause constant confusion, because when he did, oftentimes the followers were confused. But he spoke this way to keep his followers focused and thinking on what he spoke. He wanted them to walk away contemplating what he had said and sit down and think about what he had said. Author and scholar John Phillips says, in his discourse, he had used figures of speech in the vine, the pearl, the treasure, the sheep, and the woman in travail. These mines of truth contain treasures the disciples had not grasped. Right now, Christ would speak plainly. His teachings would be unfolded in its innermost meanings made clear. Now that's what I like to hear. There's many times when I sit down and I open my Bible, especially when you turn to the book of Leviticus or the book of Hebrews, you sit there and you read what God has in store for us in the Bible. And as you read, you're just like, okay, I don't get that. I don't understand that. There's times when I don't understand and I have to go to a commentary or I have to go to a scholarly journal to understand exactly what the scripture is saying. But there's other times when Jesus speaks that it's crystal clear. It's absolutely crystal clear, and that's what we're going to see take place this morning. Church, have you ever had a conversation with someone who almost seemed like they were trying their hardest to talk in such a way that you couldn't understand, and at some point in the conversation you just had to throw your hands up and say, listen, can you speak clearly? Can you speak in English to me? Because I don't understand what you're saying. I mean, this happens in the preacher world as well. I'll never forget, years ago, I was at a church and there was a pastor, and every time this pastor, he wasn't the pastor of the church, but he was a pastor in the church. He was going to school to be a pastor. Every time this pastor would be asked to preach, he would preach in such a way that, listen, I don't think that Ravi Zacharias could have understood what he was saying. It's like he was trying to show the world how intellectual he was and how he was so much, you know, greater. I don't know. But at some point, somebody had to sit down and say, listen, you're going to have to dumb it down for some of us. You do understand that most people read and write at a seventh grade reading level, and you need to try not to preach at a seventh grade, but you need to try and, you know, get, you don't mean to use all these big theological words and lessons. Teach us in a way that we can understand. That's what we see taking place this morning. Church, we see Jesus this morning speaking plainly. And by doing so, bringing peace to his followers. So let's look at what Jesus says plainly. The second issue that will bring peace is seen in verse 26. Jesus tells his followers that a day is soon coming where they can pray to him and he will answer their prayers. Now, he will not be the intercessor in prayer. He will not be an intercessor in prayer as many would think. He will have the power to answer their prayers because of who he is as the Son of God and for what he would soon endure, giving man a way to have peace with God. Church, listen. Jesus would have been given the power just because he was the Son of God, but he earned this power through his finished work on Calvary's cross. Do you understand? Do you understand what this means to the followers of Christ? Do you understand what this means to them or what it could mean to them? Now, they took it in a way that we wouldn't. Listen, there would be no more standing in line to sacrifice for their sins. They would not need to take yearly pilgrimages to Jerusalem to cleanse themselves and their families. They would no longer have to submit themselves to the priest for atonement of sin. Jesus would release his people from the bondage of the law and would bring peace in their lives. This is freedom. This is, I could preach this on the 4th of July because what Jesus is saying here is freedom. It's sweet words of freedom. Now again, we as the church today, we can't understand the freedom because we've never been submitted or subject to the law. They were submitted to the letter of the law. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to give you some freedom. You no longer have to submit or pray to a priest. You pray to me. You pray to me. That should speak volumes. I often wonder as I read this scripture, if there's some religious organizations that have conveniently ripped this scripture out of their Bible because there are people who go to a priest to confess. Scripture says we're not to confess our sins to anybody but Jesus. No man has the authority to forgive us of our sins. No man has the authority to say, you do this, you do this, you say this prayer, you say this so many times, you light so many candles, you do this, you sojourn, you knock on so many doors, you witness. No man has the authority to tell you that you can be forgiven of sins if you do this, this, or this. Jesus says, listen. Put the law behind you. All you have to do is come to me. And I hope you know where I'm going with this morning. We're talking about peace, having peace. So Jesus gave him another piece of the puzzle of peace. Now we see the third issue of this peace in verses 27 and 28. Verse 27 says this, "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me." The Father loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and I'm going to the Father. Scholar John Phillips says this about verse 27 and 28. No mediator is needed for a second reason. No mediator. We don't have to go to a person we can go straight to Jesus. John Phillips says this, no mediator is given for the second reason. The Son's followers, Jesus' followers, love the Son's Father. The Father Himself loves you because you have loved me. And I have believed and have believed that I have come from God. So completely does the Father identify with the Son and the Son identify with the Father that for us to love Christ is to love the Father. Now, I mean, as you read through that, it's a tongue twister. But in a nutshell, listen to it again. For us to identify with the Father, that is for us to love Christ is to love the Father. The two are one. So all we have to do to have peace is to understand the love that God has for us because we love the Son. We believe the Son. We have put our faith and our trust in the Son. And therefore the Father says, I accept that. I love you. That's unbelievable. Now, the disciples of Christ seem to think once again that they have figured out everything Jesus has said to them. That they are all in a good place in their faith in verses 29 and 30. And let's just read verse 29 and 30. It says, the disciples say this, ah, his disciples said, now you're speaking plainly and not using the figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you have come from God. They say this, and then Jesus once again tells them the truth. We need to hear the truth. Jesus tells them the truth. And even in Jesus telling them the truth, they would still do exactly what Jesus has said. What does Jesus say? Look at verse 31. Jesus responded to this saying that they just said, by saying this, do you now believe? Now you believe. Look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to your own home and you will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you these things. Church, sometimes the truth is hard to hear. I don't always like to hear the truth. Sometimes the truth is hard to hear. But can I tell you that when the truth is told, after a period of time, that truth brings peace. Not immediately. Sometimes when people tell you the truth, you get mad. I can't believe they had the audacity to tell me what they told me. And as you sit there and you vent and you just hyperventilate and you try to get your sorts about, you come to realize that what the person told you was the truth. The truth. Did the disciples like what they had just heard Jesus say about them? I'd imagine not. I would say that some of them probably did not believe they would run and hide. But when Jesus was taken, they did. After all the events unfolded and they all remembered this truth that Jesus spoke of, their faith was that much more solid because Jesus spoke it before it even happened and they remembered it as it happened. Church, that truth strengthened their faith. The truth will bring you peace if you'll accept the truth. Now, we've now come full circle back to verse 33. Remember I told you the origin of all of what we were going to be talking about this morning came from verse 33. Verse 33 says this, I have told you these things. So that in me, you may have peace. You'll have suffering in this world. Be courageous, because I have conquered this world. Church, if you want peace, you can search for it and try to find it any and everywhere in this world you possibly can. But you're never going to know the peace that you're searching for
apart from Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that, brother? Because I tried to fill it with everything there was to fill in the world. I was a liar, a cheat, a thief. I was a whoremonger. I was a drunk. When Jesus saved me, he saved me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. You know what it brought? When I trusted, when I just asked Jesus to come into my heart and my life. I didn't trust the denomination. I didn't trust a religion. I trusted Jesus. Do you know what came in my life? Something I had been seeking for a long time. Peace. Peace. Just peace. Where does all peace, lasting peace, come from? It comes from Jesus. My question to you is the question I pretty much always ask. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know him? Because if you know him, you know about this peace that I'm talking about. But if you've never accepted Christ as my personal Savior, as your personal Savior, you may have had some sort of peace, but never lasting peace, never true peace, never full peace. So will you accept him today? Scripture says all you have to do is call out to Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. That's all you have to pray. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need you. I know that you are the Messiah. Please come into my heart and come into my life. God, I know you raised Jesus from the dead. There's evidence all over the world. Will you pray that prayer today and know my Jesus and know the peace that comes from only knowing Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that even though we're not together in this sanctuary, that we're together in you, that we can feel each other's presence because of your presence. Lord, we're excited every time we hear the voice of a church member, our brothers and our sisters. We're excited every time we see their face. Lord, I passed a church member just this past week at a stoplight, and it just gave me great joy. And it wasn't because of me, and it wasn't because of her. It was because of you, the love that you've given us to love each other. God, thank you for that love. Thank you for your peace. May we never take advantage of it. May we always learn to love you more, God. Strive to love you more. Strive to learn more about you. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning. As we end the service, I want to thank you again, as I always do. Thank you for continuing to contribute, to give your tithes and your offerings to the church. The church is doing very well. Thank you for that. If you aren't able or you haven't been able to give, I do want to let you know you can stop by the church Monday through Friday. Myself or Becky will be here. Friday, Becky will be here till 1 o'clock. You can mail that in to 102 Sylvania Road, 102 Sylvania Road, Savannah, Georgia, 31419. Or you can look on our website and you can see Neil, help me. It's called, The Giving Page. There's an app that you can install and you can give directly through the church and it comes straight to us. Thank you for continuing to give and to support our church as we continue to reach out to our community. Thank you. Have a great day. God bless you all.